Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 3. Good to see a good number tonight in the service, and trust the Lord to help us. Good to see Brother Pridmore back in the service with us tonight. He just decided to stay over and be in the service, and he's praying about coming this direction, so let's pray about that. Amen. These houses for sale everywhere, so... And Rogersville is a good place to go to Haiti from, amen. Brother Craddock was talking to him, and he was talking to Brother Craddock about, you know, hey, you need to go to Haiti with me. And he got off the phone, and he told his wife, said, Brother Pridmore's wanting me to go to Hades with him. So let's pray for Brother Craddock to get saved so he don't go to Hades, amen. That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Amen.
Else,
yeah. That's right. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. Mark chapter number 3. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger," Jesus, the God of love, the Bible said it, that he looked on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth straightway, took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you'll help us tonight to, as we deal with this simple but yet very practical and needful truth. And I would ask you to work in our hearts tonight, deal with sinners, working in their heart with conviction and the drawing power of God. And Lord, I pray that this will be the greatest year of ministry, Lord, that this church has ever seen. Lord, I pray that 2013 will, Lord, allow us to be very productive and effective concerning winning the lost, locally and globally. Lord, we pray now that you'll help us to, as a local church, that we would try to keep a strong home base. Lord, there's a lot connected to RBT. And Lord, if the RBT dwindles and fizzles, Lord, it's going to have global effects around the world. And I pray that you'll help us as members and as the people of God, that we'd be faithful, that we'd stay focused, stay on fire for the Lord. God, we pray that you'll add to our church as you see fit, that, Lord, we might be able to do greater things than, Lord, we have ever done before. Lord, I pray for me, myself, as a pastor, that God, you'd fill me in the Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, I would fill this pulpit in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Lord, lead us now and take control of our mind, take control of our heart and actions and our thoughts, and we'll praise you, God, for what you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Again, if you would, look with me back in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "And he," that is Jesus, "entered again into the synagogue." Notice that. The synagogue was a public place of worship. Jesus had a practice of going to church. Many times you find Jesus going to church, meeting with God's people. I like that. Well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, why not? You don't have to go to church to be saved no more than you have to do anything to be saved, because we're saved by grace. But I do believe a salvation that won't take you to church will not take you to heaven. Amen. Can I say that again? That's worth repeating. A salvation that does not do a life-changing work in your heart enough to attach you to a local Bible-believing church, get under preaching, get exposed to the truth of God's Word, amen, get underneath a pastor that'll give you instruction, that'll give you correction if necessary, that'll give rebuke if necessary. If a salvation does not do that, how can you trust it to take you to heaven if it will not even take you to church? And the woods are full of those around here. They tell you straight up, I'm saved. Where do you go to church? Well, I go about once or twice a year. I wouldn't trust that salvation to take me to Walmart, much less heaven. Are you listening? I'm telling you, the devil has deceived multitudes and to thinking that they're saved when they don't ever want to go to church. When they dodge the church. They don't have a problem going to the grocery store. They don't have a problem going to work. And they don't mind driving 100 miles and sitting on cold bleachers in the snow to watch a game. But they just cannot seem to make it to the house of God. Amen. Y'all might as well say amen. And he entered in again into the synagogue, and there was a man there, where? In the house of God, in the public place of worship, with a withered hand. I want to preach on a very practical and very personal, very simple little subject tonight I trust God will help us with. I want to preach on withered in the place of worship. Withered in the place of worship. Here we find, located in the public place of worship, was an individual that was experiencing a problem of drying up. That's what the word withered means, to dry up, to be drying up. Are you listening? Did you know that you can be sitting on RBT pews? You can even be a member of RBT church and still be drying up. I've been here 20 years. Are you listening? And I've seen many of them come and go. I've seen many, and you have seen many, that look like they're going to all but sprout wings, and the next thing you know, they did, because they took flight somewhere else. Are you listening? And I don't rejoice over none of that. Amen? It has an effect on the preacher like you'll never know. But one effect that I refuse to let it have on me is me quitting and me stopping by the grace of God. I remember a few years ago, and I don't know why I'm on that, but a few years ago we had some issues, and we lost a few folk, and I mean, it just knocked me for a loop, amen? And I'll never forget Miss Debbie. She said to me, I guess she saw how it was affecting me and my countenance. I can't hide it too good when I'm down and defeated, and you can't either, because I see it all the time. Amen. And she said to me something that really just shook me to reality. She said, "Preacher, we're not all gone." Amen. You know what I interpreted that to mean? Hey, there's still a crowd here that needs preaching. There's still a crowd here that needs a preacher in the pulpit that's focused and on fire and faithful, amen, and is not whimpering around and whining and is faithful, amen, and I want to be that. But here we find a man that was having a problem in the place of worship of drying up. Now this could represent a couple of things. This man, this drying up of this hand or of the member of that body could be applied to the church body having many members. They're not all dried up, but there was that one member of that body, of his body, that was drying up. Could it be true? Could it be that in our church, hid out in the pews, amen, or stand at the house, or whatever, could it be that there's a member of RBT body that is drying up? Could that be? Could that be? Amen. And I can see it a lot of people. I can see when distance starts coming in their life. I can feel the distance between me and them. And I just know, I guess, sin's got a pattern, Satan's got a pattern, storms have a pattern, and you just know, you can just see it. And it's just like when those things, those signs starts appearing, you just almost know in your heart, well, unless God intervenes, they're going to be next. Amen? But it could represent a member of the church, the body of the local believers. 1 Corinthians 12, and you can read it when you get home, verse 12 through 27, likens the church unto a body, hand and feet and eyes and ears and head and so on and so forth. And of course, we know Christ is the head of the body. But thank God the head will never dry up. Amen. Hallelujah, we can count on that. The hand may dry up, and that's probably me half the time, but my head won't never dry up. Thank God Jesus Christ is the head of the body of His church. And so we notice that. And let me just point out a few things here. The hand was still a part of the body. It was dry. The word means dry or shriveled or to shrink. The word withered does. But yet it was still called a hand. It still had the same identity as the other hand, though it was dry. Amen. I'm glad we don't lose our identity when we get dry. I'm glad I don't lose. Amen. Amen, Brother J.R. I'm glad God is in the restoring business and not in the amputating business. Because I tell you, I don't know who would be preaching here tonight if God amputated me every time I got dry. And I don't know who the preacher would be preaching to if God cut you off every time you got dry. I'm glad tonight that God is able to restore. God is able to restore. Amen. The hand was still a part of the body. You may be here tonight as a member or a soon-to-be member or need-to-be member or want-to-be member. Those were words of inspiration right there, I felt. Amen. You may feel like your spiritual life, you may feel like you just dry as a chip. Amen. But you're still a part of us. You're still a part of us. Amen. And we don't believe in amputation, amen? We want God to restore you. But anyway, the hand was still a part of the body. It was still called a hand as much as the other hand. It still had life in it. Now listen, that's a good point. It was dry and shriveled and shrunk. It was dry, but it still had life in it. It wasn't dead, hallelujah. Hey, church, there's a big difference of being dry and being dead. Listen, if you're dead, there's no hope for you. But if you're just dry, I'm glad God can reverse it. God can turn it around. Amen. I feel something on that, amen. It still had life in it, though it had become inactive and unmoving and so on. Amen. Oh, that's right. Oh, yes. But let me just deal with some things about this real quick. Number one, I want to just, and this is so simple, maybe God will help us to get a hold of it. I want to talk about the cause of the withering. the cause of the withering. Withered in the place of worship. I want to say first of all about the cause, if you're taking notes, the number one, the condition or the cause of withering was not caused by other members. Well, that's good. In that man's body was other members, but the other members did not cause the dryness. That's good. Amen. So therefore, since it did not cause the dryness or the withering up of that member, amen, then therefore you cannot blame other members for your dryness. Amen. It's good. Not everybody's drying up, but this one was. Maybe you look around at RBT and you see others that are not drying up. But when you look in the mirror, you see somebody that is drying up. The worst thing you can do is try to blame other members. But I just simply wanted to say the cause of this withering was not other members. Number two. I want to say the cause of this withering was not caused by the church. You can't blame the synagogue. You can't blame the sanctuary for your dryness. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. You cannot blame the church. And if you can blame the church, then here's what the devil will convince you. If you were somewhere else, you'd be a fired up Christian. I want to deal with that just a second. If everybody in the church is drying up, then you do have just cause to think there is something major wrong and that maybe I need to be elsewhere. But when everybody in the church is not drying up, the preacher's not drying up, the choir's not drying up, the Sunday school teachers are not drying up, the young people are not drying up, but yet you're drying up. Hello, Tokyo, the church is not your problem. Amen. I had them tell me before in years past, they said, preacher, you just don't feed me no more. I just don't get nothing out of you preaching no more. Well, I could understand that. But I said to them, I said, well, let me ask you a question. How's your personal devotions doing? You're not getting anything from the pulpit, but are you getting anything at the house, amen, when you're in your private time with the Lord? They hung their head, Brother Titus. You know why? Because the problem is not the pulpit and it's not the church and it's not the members. Amen. If it was, then they would be feeding Brother Travis on the Word of God at home. They'd be feeding in walking with God at home. But when it's cut off in the house, amen, as well as the church, the problem is on the inside. So we're talking about the condition or the cause, I mean. The cause of it is not other members. The cause of it is not the church. Now I want to say this, and I'm just going to move on, but I do know this. This is a fact. There are some churches, ladies and gentlemen, that has a stand and has an atmosphere in it that will encourage dryness. Hello? You can't go just anywhere to church. You'll never hear me say, you'll never hear a real Bible preacher say, go to the church of your choice. It don't matter what they believe, just go to anywhere. That's not scriptural. Amen? Oh, listen, I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that some churches I would dry up in. In fact, I've made this statement before that if I left RBT, I don't have a clue where I'd go to church. And it's not that I'm too, you know, it's not that I'm a big wig or big shot or you know, a way up here. I just don't know too many places I could go that would feed me. And I don't know that I know I couldn't. I couldn't put my family in a church that was going to encourage their dryness. Amen. I'm not going to go to a church that when I say amen or I get excited or I testify that they're going to get a crick in their neck looking. Amen. I want to go where it's free. I want to go where it's biblical and scriptural and where it's Christ honoring. That's where I want to go. Anyway, the condition was not caused by the church. Amen. The withering hand was inside of a public place of worship. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. Many may try to content themselves by saying, well, at least I'm going to church. But Jack, that's kind of what you had in mind or what was in your testimony. Well, at least I'm going to church. I'm dry. I'm dried up. But at least I'm going to church. What good is that? Because if you go to a church that does not have, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's worth it right here. If you go to a church that does not have the presence of the Lord in it, you'll go dry and you'll leave dry. In fact, you'll go dry and leave drier. Amen. Amen. Well, at least I'm going to church. Others, on the other hand, use their witheredness as a reason to not go to church. Come on, we could preach right there a while. Well, preacher, you see, I've got this going on, and I'm just drying up, you know, and I'm going through all of this, amen, and so that's the reason I'm staying at the house. If you're going to get help, where do you think you stand a good chance of getting help at? The house of God. Amen. Bring your dryness. Amen. I'd rather have you here dry as to stay at home dry. Because the truth is, if you stay at home, you're going to be just as dry there. Your hand is going to be just as dried up there as it is at the house of God. Amen. So bring your dryness and come on to church. Chances are God might address you and tell you to stand forth and stretch forth, and God turn your dryness around to where it is not a problem anymore. All right, amen. Well, glory. So don't use your, listen, and of course this is elementary preaching, I know that, but I'm telling you that a lot of people, as soon as their spiritual life starts to dry up in some area, the first thing they think about doing is not going to the house of God. And you can gauge a lot of your spiritual life. I guarantee you, sure as I'm standing in here preaching tonight, that we've got people that should have been here tonight and could have been here tonight. But where are they? They're probably at the house, rubbing on that dry hand, not even thinking about the preacher and how discouraged he gets when you lay out. Not thinking about my fellow church members that I'm in covenant relationship with. Wondering how it's going to affect them because I'm not at the house of God. But it's amazing how that little dry hand can work that remote control on the couch. It can't turn a Bible page, but it can work on that. It can change channels. Amen. Woo, glory to God, that's right. Amen. All right, let's move on. We're just getting started. The cause of the withering. Amen. Let me say this right here. Now, we've dealt with some things that it wasn't. It wasn't the church. It wasn't other members and so on. But I want to say the one thing that it was. I've done a study on it. Did you know that this witheredness was an inside problem? Now, this is the way it was described. The side juices was blocked from the hand. The inside juices was blocked from flowing into the hand. When you start drying up, can I tell you, something is blocked. There's a blockage somewhere. Amen. There's a blockage somewhere. Did you know that even though that blockage was there and that hand still had life in it, the head was still sending signals to the hand, but the hand did not, would not respond. Why? Because of the inside blockage. Amen. So what's the inside juices? Do you need that preached on? What about John chapter 4? And there shall be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. Amen. What about the comparisons that the Word of God and the Spirit of God is lacking unto water? What blockage have you got in your life? That's what the problem was. It wasn't environment. Oh, yeah. It wasn't the environment. It wasn't the external. The problem was the internal. If you're listening, and listen, I'm talking about me included. We battle with this right here. We battle with this right here, staying away from dryness. I'm telling you, there's been times in my Christian life that I was dry as powder. You say, oh, surely not, preacher, not you. Oh, yes, me. Because the last time I checked, I'm still made of the same thing you are. Amen. And there's times, brother, that I get dry as a chip. I get dry, as someone said, as last year's bird's nest. I get dry. I have to battle with that as well. But any time that dryness comes into my life, guess what? It's always an inside problem. Amen. So the causes of the withering. And by the way, just let me mention this. We talked about how that we can compare this withered hand to a withered member of that local church body. But you can actually bring it down to something more personal, where that you yourself have different things and aspects about your life spiritually that's drying up. Your prayer life, is it drying up? Your relationship to the Word of God, is it drying up? Now wait just a minute now. Oh, I feel something right there. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, the best of us, we'll battle with that. Getting dry in our relationship with the Word of God. Amen. Get dry concerning prayer. What about this one? Get dry concerning our burden for sinners. Get dry about our excitement concerning the church we attend and the things of God that we're involved in. We can get dry like that. But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, our dryness is not permanent. I don't believe any child of God, me nor you, will get dry and stay dry. Amen. If a person is dry constantly, week in, week out, year in, year out, I don't think their problem is an inside blockage. I think they're lost without God and have never been born again. Amen. That's right. I believe the preacher will every once in a while see a little spiritual moisture in your life. Hey, I believe every once in a while your family will see some of the inside juices flowing. When's the last time your family saw you get excited? Wait a minute, let me finish that. If I just stopped right there, they'd say, oh, the other night when my team won. No, when's the last time your family saw you get excited over the things of God? When's the last time your family So you get excited because God fed you out of his word, and you came through the house quoting a verse or amen that he had given to you. Amen. That's right. Well, the condition of this witherness, or the cause of this witherness, was an inside problem. Just like the little boy that had the watch. And he looked at the watch, and it had the look of a watch. It had all the numbers and the hands and the second hand and the face and the band. It had it all, but it wouldn't work. And he takes it to a watchsmith, or whatever you call him. Watchsmith, I guess. He takes it to the watchsmith and he said, "Sir, I don't know what the problem is. I've got this watch. It looks like a watch. I mean, all the details of the watch, but it won't work." And the watchsmith said, "Let me look at it just a moment." And he got it and turned it over, popped the back off of it, and he said, "There's your problem. You've got a piece on the inside that's broke." Amen. Some of you, amen, and we all go through the times that outwardly, we make sure that outwardly we look like a watch. We act like, amen, we've got the appearance of the watch. But the one thing that people notice is that it's not working. And we go to the watchmaker, Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost says, "Let me get my screwdriver and my tools out." And begins to open us up and look on the inside at our attitude and so forth. And Brother Klemper, he'll point out, right, here's your problem. It's an inside issue. Number two, let me hurry on. I spent more time there than I meant to. Number two, I want to talk about the characteristics of withering in the place of worship. Not only the cause, but the condition of withering. You can wither, you can be dry, even in the house of God. Even in a good church. And that's true anywhere. That's true anywhere. I guarantee Brother Massengale, as far as I'm concerned, has one of the greatest churches I know of anywhere in America. But I guarantee if I were to ask him, "Preacher, do you have anybody in your church that's dry? Their spiritual life is drying up and they're not where they need to be or not even where they used to be." I guarantee you'd say yes. Because anywhere you got people, you're going to have this problem. But you know what I'm noticing? A lot of preachers are drying up. Hello? A lot of preachers are drying up. The church is wanting to go on for God, but the preacher's drying up. And then on the other hand, there are churches, the preacher's wanting to go on for God, but the church is drying up. A sure defeat is when a dry preacher and a dry people gets together. Amen. I want to make sure that at least the pulpit stays moist spiritually. All right, let's talk about the characteristics of withering. And I've done dealt with some of them. I'll just mention them. First of all, there's dryness. The word withered means to dry up. To dry up. So there's a dryness, and I've been dealing with that. Number two, the characteristic of witherness is not just dryness, but it is also decline. Because the word withered not just means dry, but it also means to shrink. Hello? Does that need explanation? When something shrinks, does that mean that it loses size? That it's going from a bigger to smaller size? Amen. A decline. And might I add that this decline was gradual. It was personal. It was gradual. It didn't happen overnight. Probably it started a long time back. He had the problem, but the problem didn't have him. All right, let's move on. Dryness. Decline. Number three, the third characteristic of witherness or withering is disability. Dryness, decline, disability. Do you know the man with a withered hand and it drying up, and it shrinking, and it shriveling up, my friend, that is a disability. Though it is called a hand, it cannot do what a hand is supposed to be able to do. Though you are called a Christian, when you get dry, you become disabled to do what God asks of you and expects of you. Disability. And a disability is a limited condition. It's a condition of limitations. Is that right? Let me give you this. You write it down. This young man that had the withered hand, it was limited in ability. Limited in ability. The sense of touch was gone. The power of feeling was gone. Well, I don't preach, I just didn't feel nothing in church. Could that be the result of dryness? Huh? Here's another disability or limitation of ability. Not only the sense of touch and the power of feeling, but no grip. No ability to hold on to something. Preacher, preach a message. It's helpful at the moment, but you lose it before you get in your car. No ability to hold on to something. And you and I both better know that if we're going to be what God wants us to be in days to come, weeks to come, we better learn to hold on to some things. Amen. The ability to pick up things. The ability to carry things is all limited. Not only that disability is limited in ability, but it's limited in action. That hand that was dried up is no longer active, and it is no longer moving. It is still and stationary. Church, you need to keep your eye on that in your life. When you become inactive, when you become uninvolved in what the other members of the body are doing, and you're just hanging around, so to speak, there's a problem with dryness. Amen. It's limited. Disability is not only a limited in ability, limited in action, but it's also limited in assistance. Have you ever tried to tie your shoe with one hand? Have you ever tried, maybe you, for whatever reason you injured an arm or something and you had to put your clothes on and button up buttons with one hand? I want to tell you that is, Lucas, you can testify to that. Was it easy? Was it hard? How many times through that process of your hand being going through the healing and process do you wish, man, I wish I could use that hand, or I wish I could use that arm? In other words, when you get dry, you become in a condition to where you cannot help others. You cannot lend an assisting hand to other people in the church. Rather, when you're in that condition of dryness, you're the one that has to be carried. You're the one that has to receive all the attention. Amen. It's good church preaching right here. Limited in assistance. That hand was no longer reaching out to others. That hand was no longer helping others. That hand was hindering or not helping to keep the body clean. Did you see that? That hand was dry, so it wasn't assisting the others in helping to keep the body clean. When you get dry, you won't help the church stay clean spiritually. It's a lot easier, Brother Clipper, if you got that dryness going on. It's a lot easier to just let somebody else do with that. Amen. Now I'm telling you, this is practical preaching. Our churches are plagued with it. And we've got revival coming up. And one way to start this week out, ladies and gentlemen, would be to make sure that you're not dry. A dried up member of RBT. And that you do not have dried up spiritual areas in your life. Your prayer life, your burden for sinners, your reading of the Word of God, and church involvement and so on. Amen. And also that hand was no longer assisting to protect the body. If there's an attack against that body, that hand is not defensive. That hand is not protective. So when you get dry, or I get dry, or we let spiritual areas of our life get dry, you know what we're doing? We're offering the devil no opposition, no defense whatsoever in his attack on our home or on our church or on our young people. So in light of that, Brother Silas, could we not say that the devil's intent of getting you dry is so that you will be open for easy defeat? Amen. Not only is the characteristic one of dryness and decline and disability, but also, listen, displayed. The characteristic of a withered hand will be displayed. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? That is, it will not be hid long. And it won't be kept a secret long. It was withered from within, but it was witnessed from without. Others are going to know of your dryness before long. Yep, you cannot keep it a secret long. Isn't that right? Well, let me close with this. The cure of the withered hand in the place of worship in the house of God. The cure of withering. Amen? The Bible uses the word restore. What does that imply? That implies that this withered hand was not always like that. Restore means we're going to take that condition of dryness and reverse it and take it back to the condition before it got dry. It's not always like that. Amen? So, this young man right here could have rejected any efforts the Lord made to heal him. And you know, I'm not going to take the time to deal with it. There's a lot of preaching right here. But you know what was involved in this man getting his hand or his dryness reversed and cured and healed? You know what the basic thing was? Obedience. Obedience. Jesus address that man. I like that. That's interesting. That caught my attention as I was studying on that. Brother Pridmore, that caught my attention that Jesus Christ, the man with the withered hand, had Christ's attention. Jesus noticed him. You don't have Jesus fooled. It ain't hard, Miss Arlene. It ain't hard for people to fool me. But we never fool Christ. He knows our dryness, and He knows when we've got the inside blockages, and He knows that, amen? But the thing that interests me was that Jesus knew that man was going to church. Jesus knew he was going to be at church. What if that man hadn't went to church that day? Wow! Don't you know he would have lived to regret that? Oh, I missed church! And Jesus showed up, and He showed up to reverse my dryness. He showed up to send me revival, and I didn't show up to get it. I don't know what's going to come out at the judgment seat of Christ, Brother Titus. I really don't know. But what if this comes out? When God brings up each saint of God to the judgment seat to be judged and says, look, I meant on January such and such date, 2013, Sunday night, I meant to really help you. Sent the message through the preacher addressing your situation, and you didn't even come. Amen. Amen. And I don't have anybody in mind when I make this statement, but I thought Sunday, last Sunday, when God moved through here, amen, I thought how many people could have got help had they been here? I mean, there was a lot of people got help that was here, but I thought about, I can't help but think about those that weren't here. God could have done something for them. And then we come in here on Monday night and had an absolute wonderful, wonderful time in our watch night service. And I know some had to work, and I know different ones was involved in different things, but there were some people that I know as pastor that is struggling spiritually could have really benefited from that watch night service. Amen. I guess, Brother Brad, that right there bothers me probably as much as anything. Is you study and you pray and you prepare, you get the mind of God, you get the leadership of God, amen, and you come to church and you know, listen, I've been here long enough till I know you. That's why most pastors don't last but about two and a half years at their churches, because that's about how long it takes to learn the people. See, the people don't mind you preaching on their hide as long as they know that you don't know. But after you've been there a while, and then when you start preaching against sin, and they know that you know, and you know that they know that you know, that's when problems arise. Amen? But a true man of God will preach the truth even though you know that he knows that you know he knows. Amen. That's the truth, amen? But I've thought how many times. And the devil crawl up on my shoulder and says, what's the use? What's the use? I had a pastor this week that I esteem high in the Lord. And he has been going through it. I mean, just really going through hard times. Struggles, attacks from every angle. And he said to me, he said, you know what, preacher? He said, I told my wife the other day, he said, if it wasn't for our kids, and hopefully one day our grandkids, it would be very easy. And he's telling his wife, but he's telling me what he told her. He said, I told her, said it'd be very easy for us just to get in our car and take off and go somewhere where nobody will ever hear from us again. You say, preacher, is that so? If I called their name, you'd know them. They've stood in this pulpit preaching. Pressures, problems, dealing with the aggravations of ministry is killing most preachers. Killing their family, killing their wife. And I thank God for RBT that we're not like that. I mean, we've got our problems, amen, and we will continue to have until we get to heaven, amen. You can't have a perfect church with an imperfect preacher. Isn't that right, Brother Frank? And I laid no claim to perfection. Never, ever. Amen. Sometimes I correct my wife and she'll say, all right, God. So, all right, God, you think you're God. I hope she don't get this tape. I bet she'll get 15 copies in the mail this week. Amen. I said, no, don't call me God, call me Lord. Amen. Sarah called Abraham Lord. Amen. Lord Rackley will be a good name. Amen. Lord have mercy. I better get off of that. Or I'll be sick when I get home. Brother Titus, don't follow my example on that. Amen. Help us, Lord. Well, I don't know how I got on that anyway. But anyway, the cure, ladies and gentlemen, it's not amputation, it's restoration. Amen. The cure is obedience. Jesus told that young man to do what he did not want to do. Stand forth. Listen, you know what the last thing you want to do when you're experiencing some dryness is to stand forth, meaning you're standing out in front of everybody with your problem. Well, I'm not going to the altar to get right. Why not? Jesus might be saying, stand forth. And then he didn't just say, stand forth. He asked him to do something that was even more difficult. He told him to stretch forth. And from what I can study on that condition, that paralysis that that man had, any movement of that hand was excruciating pain. But when Jesus said, stretch it forth, he could have easily said, but Jesus, it hurts. You know, Jesus, to help you, sometimes might have to hurt you. Sometimes he might ask you to do something that's not going to be easy, that's not going to be comfortable. Amen. I mean, listen, when God sent me to Rogersville, that wasn't an easy move. I had everything I had to do. I had to sell my house. I didn't have enough money to pay attention with. I had to sell my house. And you know how long that takes sometimes. And then I had to buy a house up here, Brother Carroll. Thank God for your daddy working with me on that. That allowed me to move in and have my house before that house ever even sold, just on off of my word that when that house sells, then I'll make the down payment here. But I knew God wanted me here. And I've never to this day ever, ever doubted that. Never. Through the thick and the thin, I've never doubted it. Never. Through the storms, when people are coming or when people are leaving, I've never questioned, God, you sent me here. You know why? I got that settled before I ever got the U-Haul in the driveway. I got that settled in my heart long before that I ever made the move. God wanted me in Rogersville. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad there's a cure, though. That's just a simple truth. I'm glad there's a cure for our dryness. It's not permanent. If you're dry, you can get over it. If you're willing to obey what Jesus says, if you're willing to deny yourself and what's comfortable for you, if you're willing to stand forth and stretch forth that hand and let Jesus heal you of that dryness and of your disability, your spiritual disability, I want to tell you, the Lord can help you tonight. Don't go to your grave saying, well, I used to could use this hand to praise God. Can I give you this and I'm done? Some of you's already done, but let me give you this. I've had a good time preaching tonight. I think we've had a good day. You say, why is it so important to have my hand restored? Let me just, you can just write these down, study them when you get home. Psalms 134 and verse 2, your hand is used to praise God with. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. You know why the devil wants dryness to come into your life? So that it will cripple your praise. It will hinder your praise. God wants to restore your hand so you can praise Him. If you go to 1 Timothy 2 in verse number 8, you can find that the hand is instrumental in praying. The Bible says there, and I'll get there just in a second, 1 Timothy 2 and 12. Or excuse me, 2 and 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, doing what? Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. If you're dry, you can't lift your hands in praise. If you're dry and want to, amen, you can't lift your hands in prayer. Amen. And then Hebrews 12 and verse number 12, you cannot lift your hands in participation. The Bible says, wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Lifting up the hands that hang down. You won't be able to do that. You won't be able to do that. My friend, if you're dry, you're dry. And one other thing on that, did you know the Bible said it was his right hand? You know what the right hand stands for in the Bible? Jesus is sitting on the right hand. Give people the right hand of fellowship. You know what the right hand stands for? Work. Authority. Power. You know why the devil wants to keep your hand dry? It's so you won't have any power. So you won't have any power. But Jesus wants to heal us of our dryness so we can praise Him. He wants to heal us of our dryness so we can pray. He wants to heal us of our dryness so we can lift up the hands that hang down. Amen. And praise God and participate in the things of God. But He also wants us to have our hand of dryness fixed so we can have power with God and be used mightily of God, be able to work. Am I not right on this, that when you are experiencing spiritual dryness, you don't want to do much? From what I gather, Brother Jackie, of that paralysis that man had, the most comfortable place or the most comfortable thing to do with that hand was to leave it alone. Amen. And when the preacher gets to preaching on your dry hand, and the Holy Spirit of God gets to pointing that out and gets to dealing with you about it, next thing you know, you're like, oh, 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 preacher, that hurts. Oh, Holy Ghost, that hurts. Leave me alone. A preacher that's not worth the salt in his bread will leave you alone. Amen. Thank God for a preacher and for the Holy Spirit and for the people of God that knows the best thing for you. It may hurt for a while, but the best thing for you is movement. Amen. Amen. Movement. Movement. A good movement for you tonight would be toward the altar. Amen. Amen. A good movement tonight would be in obedience to God. God, you've been dealing with me about this and that, and I've been rebelling and I've been running. But Lord, tonight I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you for allowing me to preach tonight.